tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, all tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Just remain standing just for one moment while I pray. Father, we do come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your anointing on my life. Now speak through these lips of clay with a spirit of excellence, accuracy, and boldness, that the word will go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces. Let me die to myself. Let God be glorified. Father, we pray for signs and wonders and miracles. May they be performed in this service today. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And as my pastor always says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Open your ears, open your mind to receive what God has for you today. Glory to God. You may be seated. Today, I know it's not Women's Day, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Women have been a strong influence in the church. And today, I chose to talk about the woman at the well. Amen. The story of the woman at the well is a rich example of love, truth, redemption, and acceptance. And I remember you mentioning that one Sunday about the woman in the well, Avante. And I thank you because that was my springboard to what I'm talking about today. Because sometimes as ministry goes on, you think about, okay, what should I talk about? I know they've heard this 1,000 times about this woman at the well. I said, God, why would you want me to talk about that? But I noticed that I was around a lot of water, and a lot of running water came to me. Just hearing water running all the time. And I couldn't quite get the understanding of that. Sometimes God speaks to you in mysterious ways. And it's up to you to figure out what's he trying to say. There are three basic kinds of love found in the Bible. There's eros, phileo, and agape. And with the woman at the well, Jesus experienced the agape love. He expressed the agape love. Even though she was a sinner and people saw her as an outcast, she wasn't really accepted in her community. And we'll find out a little later on why. Food for thought. Can we love with agape love? Even if we meet a person that's a sinner, should such as a homosexual, an alcoholic, a drug addicted person, or maybe even a prostitute, because you're passing people all the time and you have no idea what they're going through. But Jesus did. He was among those people. Now, journey with me as we find out about this woman at the well. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to John 4:3. And it says, he left Judea and return to Galilee. It was necessary for him to go through Samaria. And in doing so, he arrived in Samaria, a town called Sychar, near the traces of the land of Jacob that was given to his son Joseph. And Joseph's well was there. His well was there. So Jesus was tired as he came from his journey. And he sat down to rest by the well. And it was then about the sixth hour, which was noonday. Now, you know me, I have to stop and analyze and kind of dig through what are you trying to say about time. Time was important to Jesus too. So most of the women in the town would come to that well at about 10 o'clock in the morning because it was a hot climate. It was better for you to fill your buckets or whatever you bought to draw the water with at a decent time, which would have been about 10 o'clock in the morning. Also, it was a place for the women to sit down and talk about their day and the things that they had gone through. Oh, it's like a social place for the women in the town. John 4:7, presently when the woman of Samaria came along to draw the water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, to me, that was kind of odd. First of all, he didn't know that lady. He just came to the well. And then we see that his disciples had gone off into town to get some food. So to me, that means it was Jesus, the Samaritan woman, and the disciples. All of them were standing there at the well at the same time. But the disciples said, okay, we're getting a little hungry. We've been on this journey now. We've gone from Judea headed to Galilee, and we're going to go get some food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a Samaritan and a woman for a drink?" For Jesus had no dealing with the Samaritans. So here we see that the Samaritans was a race that was despised by the Jews. So why was Jesus even talking to her? If he understood Jewish tradition, he was not to be talking to her without the presence of her husband. Now, this is the way they did it back then. If you wanted to talk to me, I had to have my husband present right here. So he would be able to hear what you are saying to me. Amen. All right? So John 4:11, she said to him, "Sir, have you nothing to draw with? No drawing bucket? And the well is deep. How then can you provide living water? Where do you get your living water?" A lot of questions. She's really bombarding Jesus with questions. All right. Now we get to the part where all of this running water this week has been going on with me. I decided to look up, what does water symbolize in the Bible? It's new beginning and the Holy Spirit. Water represents God's judgment and purification. Water sanctifies, delivers, and salvation for deliverance and salvation. Baptism, and it symbolizes a rebirth and cleansing of sin. So that's interesting to me. I was like, okay, God, I see a new beginning. I see the Holy Spirit. And I know now what I should minister on. John 4:13 says, Jesus answered her, "And all who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." Now he's talking about the well water at this point. John 4:14, But he whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I give him shall become a spring of water welling up, overflowing, bubbling, continual in him unto for eternal life. John 4:15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never get thirsty, nor have to come continuously to this well." That would save her a couple of trips. All right. So at this, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back here." She said, "Call my husband? I don't know about that." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have spoken truthfully in saying that I have no husband." John 4:18. "For you have had five husbands, and the man that you're now living with is not your husband. In this you have said, you have spoken the truth." John 4:19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I see and I understand that you are a prophet." Now, I wonder what made her think that. Huh? She went and told him, "I don't have a husband. I had five husbands." Well, we really don't know what happened to those five men. They could have died or something. It never tells you what happened to those men. But we know that she did have five husbands, it says. So she was married. But this man that she's with now, she said, "I'm really not married to him, but I'm with him." Okay. And so the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you're a prophet." And you know why she said that? Because he was able to tell her everything about herself. That's amazing to me that he just walked over there to her and said, "Okay, yeah, I know about you. So you may not know that I know, but I do know, and I know about you." But God is so good about knowing about us and about what we need, when we need it, how we need it, and where we should go even to get it. He knows us. John 4:39, it says, "Now numerous Samaritans from the town believed and trust in him because of what the woman said. And when she declared and testified he told me everything that I needed to know." So what she did was she basically went into the town and told them, say, "Hey, I met a man. He prophesied to me. He told me about me. He told me everything about me." And I just think it's just wonderful how we don't even have to ask, and God knows. Sometimes I just say, "Jesus, I don't even know what to ask him for," but he knows. He knows. And that's the wonderful thing about making that connection with God. So the living water that you will never thirst again is salvation. It was on that day that she accepted Christ and made him her personal Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. She said, "I believe in you. I know who you are, because they said that you would be coming." And he stood up and said, "I am he. I'm here. Here I am." And I'll bet you she was truly surprised at what was happening to her. And you notice, neither one of them drink from that well. Isn't that just a strange thing? They had a wonderful conversation, but she never went back to the well. She went to the town because she had to tell somebody. And that's why I do enjoy testimonies. I do, because we need to hear them. We need to know what God is doing within your week. and what he's doing with you, to you, through you. This is the woman at the well. Now today, God has instructed me before I came here. He told me that there are some people with broken hearts today. You know, we're moving towards Valentine's Day, and it's a time where we express love to each other, and it's good when you have a mate. But when you're by yourself, sometimes you get in your little corner and say, So today it's about praying for healing in your heart, whether it is physical, emotional, or maybe you even have a heart condition. You know, God is here to heal you from inside out. And it's a mind thing. I'm going to tell you, a lot of thoughts can go through your mind throughout the week, whether you want to admit it or not. And the thing for us to do is to break all of that phallus, all of that false thought in your mind, and let you know you have a renewed mind. You have a fresh anointing when you go out into the world after you leave today. And God desires that you would come to him. See, that lady didn't even have to go to him. They just met at the well. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes he will do things out of the ordinary. You may be at the grocery store and you run into somebody and you keep going down the aisle, and every aisle, there they are. You be like, what, God, what? What? Why? Are they following me or what? But no, that's him telling you, stop. Minister to them. Say, how's your day? You don't always have to start out thumping them with a scripture, because they're going to say, uh-oh, going this way. So a lot of times, you know, just be pleasant. Just be kind. Just love on them a little bit. Just tell them about God's agape love. Unconditional. Unconditional, no matter what. And who did I say he loved? He loved the alcoholics. He loved the drug addicts. He loved the prostitutes. He loved them all, because that is why he came. He didn't come for me. He came for those that did not know him. Yeah, that's where we were at one time, before I learned to read his word. Come on, somebody. I didn't always know Exodus from Revelation. If you told me, I wouldn't know. What page is that on? See, I had no clue until God touched me. And he said, listen, I want you to turn it around. Look, just like this. And when I turned around, I was a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. I become new. I could talk better. I could see better. I could read this word with understanding. It was just, it was amazing. And I say he is amazing. Now, if there is anyone that has not confessed Jesus Christ as Lord in their life, in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, you're saved. Because he's a holy God. He don't care about your past. He cares about from this day forward. And if you messed up, repent. Say, I'm sorry. And he, how many times can you do that? 70 times 70. That means he will not stop forgiving you. No one in here is perfect. I'm not. I'm going to tell you, I'm not. And I have my days. But I want you to know he loves you. That's my message today, was love, that he does love you no matter what you go through. Now, I am extending salvation. If everybody here is saved, then we want to take up communion, offering, communion.